Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist. She joins us periodically to talk about phenology, or what's going on in our woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Tell us about the many types of ice.
Well, I can tell you about a few. There are a few kind of main things that would be worth recalling. So one is that first kind of ice that builds up along the shore, where maybe there's been little chunks of ice that are floating and they get thrown up, or just waves rolling up and washing back down on the bedrock or on the cobbles or gravel beach. So that just kind of slowly builds up, and pieces that get thrown up get welded together because the waves come up on them and then they freeze. And then sometimes there's big sculptures that are forming up from that onto the various vegetation that's along the shores. So, wow, we get all those just elaborate shapes, as well as just that more uniform shelf that forms. That shelf thing is referred to as the ice foot. It seems really appropriate to me. It's just kind of planted there, mm-hmm. right at the edge.
The base, yeah.
Yeah, it's the base. So that's kind of a ubiquitous thing. And if we have a winter that's having some kind of cold enough weather, we'll always get some of that ice foot thing. This year, we're getting that in spades, really. I mean, so that's kind of the basic thing. Of course, another really basic thing are ice sheets, and they come in all sizes and in all thicknesses. So it always happens when the lake is calm, right? If the lake is getting any kind of wind at all ruffling, then we're not going to see a sheet forming. Those sheets can be just paper thin, something that even a little rodent probably couldn't be supported by. They start out, they're just super thin. Think of those single crystals just locking arms and just spreading, and then building. Right? So it might not take too long, and it might be thick enough for the little deer mouse to run across.
And building from underneath.
So there's that kind of an ice sheet. And those, of course, are easily dismembered. You know, all it takes is a little puff of a wave to come by, and pretty soon it's in pieces and it's, you know, roaming around, and they're being thrown around and they're being reshaped by colliding with each other. And then there are everything in between that and great big thick sheets of ice that roam the lake. So most people probably know that we're on the kind of the last part of the lake to ever really form great big sheets, because the water here is mostly really deep. It takes a lot longer for it to really cool down to the point where it can start to freeze if the conditions are right. So the eastern end of the lake gets big ice sheets sooner, but they get broken free from things and they head out, you know, on being blown by the wind, traveling the lake, roaming. They're like these big nomadic sheets of ice that could end up anywhere depending upon which way the wind blows and how long they last. But if they're thick enough, boy, they can go on and on, especially if they're not pounding into other really thick pieces of ice or into the shore or whatever. But of course, when they reach the shore or they reach some other kind of more immovable thing, then they can begin to be transformed too. And that can lead to, both along the shore and just out in the middle of the lake somewhere, can lead to pressure ridges. When big ice sheets hit each other, they break off at the edges and they throw those pieces up and they fall back onto one sheet or the other or both. And if that happens enough, then pretty soon you start to get piles, right? And bigger piles and bigger piles. And it gets to be pretty dramatic how big these piles can get. And by the same token, if a big ice sheet is being piled into the shoreline, which is definitely immovable, or if a big ice sheet is being driven along the shore, so it's scraping along, right? And that happens too. Then big pieces will fold up. I mean, if you can ever get a chance to watch this happen, it is so amazing and dramatic. And all the ice sounds are very distinctive. There's really nothing else that sounds like the sounds that all these different ice land and ice interactions make. But those big, sometimes huge blocks will just literally be folded up and then go crashing down onto the ice. So you can get a ridge there on the shore and on the ice that's related to that kind of pressure activity. On those pretty rare occasions in the 45 years that I've been here that we have something called fast ice, really common along the shore. So this would be not just in sheltered bays where ice forms more like a sheet of ice forms and is kind of solidly there for a long time. That doesn't happen very often to have that be a kind of a ubiquitous feature up and down the shore. On those exposed parts of the shore, ice tends to be moved around and break apart because of winds and waves that are part of the dynamic of the lake. But there have been some winters where eventually we had fast ice. So that's where the ice, a sheet forms out, going right out from that ice foot. And it's cold enough and it's still enough, long enough that the ice gets really thick and it actually gets stuck down to the bottom, you know, in the near shore mm-hmm. regions. And it gets thick enough, too, that its outer edge, that it's not easily busted apart by waves coming in or by other sheets of ice. And when that happens, then you can get a roaming sheet of ice come and encounter that fast ice sheet. And then you can get a close in big pressure ridge that forms. And
so when you're saying mm-hmm. fast ice, you're not talking about rapid. You're talking about it's
stuck
fast.
Yes.
I gotcha.
Stuck fast and resistant to being moved by wind or altered by waves or other ice. So there were some years where there were just pressure ridges that you could walk out to that were 20 feet high, towered way over your head. It's quite an amazing thing. More like what the people regularly experience in Arctic or Antarctic environments, where you have big sheets of ice that are thick and can end up moving around and creating these big pressure ridges. It's fascinating. On the other end of the spectrum, so more on the small scale of ice shapes and types, there's something called ice bowls. Which I think are really fun and comes in a lot of different sizes, although only up to a point, because they usually form where you've had ice that's been out there maybe on the edge of the lake and kind of sloshing around, and then it gets thrown up on shore, washed up on shore by waves onto a cobble beach. So think of all those beautifully smooth, rounded cobbles. And that slushy, frazzle ice that gets thrown up on there coats those and it freezes on there. And then eventually there's some other wind wave dynamic and the cobbles get rolled around and those break off. And when they break off, then they have these nice little bowl shapes to them. And some can be pretty significant size, you know, but I think those are really fun. And then they can become, you know, really elaborate conglomerations, right? They can get glued together by water freezing, you know, around them or whatever, thrown into piles. And another example of a form that most people could see if they spend any time looking around on the lake when there's ice like this is pancake ice. And pancake ice is one of those really fascinating things. How can you not love something that looks like a pancake or a lily pad or whatever that's just out there floating on the lake? And they're usually not alone. They're usually surrounded by other pancakes of all different sizes and shapes. And they can be up to yards in diameter. Yeah. They're not always small. And they're really fun to see because they're an example of how the movement of water influences both the formation of these, but then the shape that they become. So one of the ways that pancake ice forms is that if you have a lot of frazzle ice, but the water's moving around too much to have it link up and form a sheet, but it's slushy. And when wind moves across Lake Superior from various directions, it has a lot of fetch, so we can build up big waves. Waves come into those areas of slushy frazzles, and they lose momentum as they hit that slushy ice on the water. And as they lose that momentum, they push that slushy frazzle ice into lumps and clump it together. And once it gets kind of clumped together and it starts to get a little cohesion, then the individual lumps and clumps start to slosh against each other. And ultimately, that dynamic creates these round pancakes. And you often have little soft edges going around the edge because they're bumping against each other. And they build up a little bit of slush on the edges as things keep working around. And the ones that are created like that are usually kind of lumpy and bumpy on the surface because of how they came to be. The other way that pancakes get made out there is that if you have a very smooth sheet of ice, but it's not thick enough to withstand the power of a wave coming underneath it and lifting it and putting stress on it so that it breaks apart, then you can get these smooth pieces that break. And then as they're moved around by the wave action, then they too keep hitting each other.
Right. Lose their sharp edges.
And they lose their sharp edges. They become round just like the rocks do as they go around in the lake. So just an enormous variety of both official types of ice, but also of just colors and clarities and an amazing miracle of variety in ice.
Indeed.
That we are treated to this year.
Jill Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods and waters. Thanks for talking to us about ice in its many forms.
You bet. You're welcome.